ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततोचयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 22, Elements of Material Creation, Text 33. Yo aso gunakshobhakrito vikara. प्रधान मूलान महता प्रसूत अहम् त्रिगुण मोह विकल्प हेतु वैकारिकस्तामस इन्द्रियश्च यो असौ गुणक्षोभ कृतो विकार प्रधान मूलान महता प्रसूत अहम् तीव्रं मोह विकल्प हेतु वैकारिकस्तामस ऐन्द्रियश्च यो असौ गुणक्षोभ कृतो विकार प्रधानमूलान् महता प्रसूत अहम् तीव्रं मोह विकल्प हेतु वैकारिकस्तामस ऐन्द्रियश्च Mataji's.
Yosa
word by word meaning. Yaha asau this guna of the modes of nature, kshobha by the agitation, krita cause, vikara transformation, pradhana moolat which is generated from the pradhana, the unmanifest form of the total material nature, mahata from the mahatattva, prasuta generated, aham false ego, tevrat in three phases, moha of bewilderment, vikalpa and material variety, hetu the cause, vaikarika in the mode of goodness, tamasa in the mode of ignorance, aindriya in the mode of passion, cha and translation and purport by the disciples of Israel and Lesa Siddhapuram Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: when the three modes of nature are agitated, the resultant transformation appears as the element false ego in three phases: goodness, passion and ignorance. Generated from the Mahatattva, which is itself produced from the unmanifest Pradhan, this false ego becomes the cause of all material illusion and duality. Purport: by giving up one's false ego of identification with the three modes of nature, one can achieve Krishna consciousness, the pure original state of existence. The word moha vikalpa hetu indicates that because of false ego, one considers himself to be the enjoyer of nature and thus develops a false sense of material duality in terms of material happiness and distress. False ego is removed by identifying oneself as the Lord's eternal servitor in full Krishna consciousness. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Swapadantakam. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisheshashvanyavadi Pashatya Deshatarani. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Pescha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. సో వెల్కమ్ టు ఆల్ ద souls who have appeared from different parts of the world. Rishikesh, Russia, various places they have appeared here on a very auspicious day, Vijayadashmi. And Shripad Madhvacharya's appearance day. So in this verse we are seeing that Lord Krishna is continuing to explain to Uddhava regarding the creation part, which has been already discussed in the earlier cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the second canto also we can see that when Narad Muni had that curiosity, he approached his father Brahma, and Brahma is the firstborn living entity in this material universe. And he could have easily said that I am the creator. I have created this entire creation, the secondary creation. But then he explains that what is his source, how he has been created, his birth, the first creation, in the second creation, and he explains that without Lord's mercy or without his sanction, even I cannot do the secondary creation. Secondary creation means he had already all the material elements and he had just assembled them. He created the different species. So that is the secondary creation, and he was instrumental in making that. And he could have easily said to Narad Muni that I am the creator, I have created all these 84 lakhs of species, they are all coming from me. It is such a great sense of pride, but still he humbly accepts that I am not the ultimate supreme person. And in this way, that subject is discussed, which is very technical. Especially when the creation part comes, then we find it boring. Why this? Or when it will be over? But it is a part of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the Paramahamsa Sanhita. And it is also considered as a Srushti Leela of the Supreme Lord. Creation pastime. How the Lord creates this entire material universe, all the elements. And the great souls, they take great relish in hearing these narrations. And here it is explained that when the three modes of nature are agitated, the resultant transformation appears as the element false ego. So the origin of false ego is explained here. We know that Mahavishnu, he glances at the material nature, which is in the unmanifest form, Pradhan. And by the influence of time and modes of nature, the Mahatattvas are formed. And this false ego, again the false ego in the mode of goodness, false ego in the mode of passion, and false ego in the mode of ignorance have been explained. And what we see as Mahatattva, the cross elements, we know only that much. Bhumi, apo, analo, vayu, khamman, buddhi, rehuch, ahankara, ityam, bhinna, prakruti, rashtada. So the living entity has been very nicely kept in this material world, covered by these various elements. And for the living entity to escape from this material world is almost impossible. One cannot escape easily. And therefore, this world is also called as Durgam. It's like a prison house. And all prisoners are kept in this world. And how they are prisoners? Are they shackled by any chains or bars? It was explained that this prison house is such a prison house which doesn't have any bars. They're all allowed to give some freedom. It appears as there is a lot of freedom. We can move from here, there. But the body itself is like a prison cell. The soul is inside the body, which is not liberated now, which has been captive, which has been kept inside this body very nicely. And another false covering is given. And what is that false covering? The bodily identification. That I am this body, I am male or I am female, I am from this species or that species. Various kinds of identifications are given, which is completely against the nature of the soul. The soul is different. Soul is eternal. Soul is full of knowledge and full of bliss. But as soon as he is put into this particular body, he forgets. He forgets his eternal identity. That I am a spirit soul, I am part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. And he starts identifying with this temporary material body. Srila Prabhupada also explains that when that soul is put in the body of a dog, that soul, that person, that dog is going to bark because it has been given that kind of body. He doesn't realize that he is a eternal soul. So one is forced to follow according to the conditioning one is given. But we don't want such kind of thing. We want to become liberated from all this entanglement. We want to be free. And therefore, there have been so many agitations, so many revolutions in this material world to become liberated. various types of liberations we are thinking, practicing or trying to campaign for. But what is the real liberation? Sometimes small children feel that so many days I have to study in the schools. When I go in the college, maybe I will be liberated from this teacher's punishments and exercises, so many things, homework and all. Right? And when they go in the college, they feel that now we have become liberated. But then there is higher responsibility. They have to study. If they don't study, then they will fail. Then they will get more entangled. So they have to study more. And then they feel that maybe I complete my studies and I get a job. Then I'll be freed from it. Just see my father. He just goes in a car in the morning, he comes in the evening, and he's happy. So like that, we keep thinking that maybe other person is happy. Or if I reach to a certain level, I'll be happy. But the nature of this material world is such that it keeps pushing us in particular place where we feel that we are happy. It creates that kind of illusion. But what is the reality? What is that truth we are searching for? Or what is that type of knowledge we should acquire? In what state of consciousness we should live? That we will be liberated always. So that is a deeper subject matter. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I think somebody wants to be liberated from the service. So he is keeping everything, everyone in a miserable condition for everyone. Is everything all right? Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is it okay? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sorry for the interruption. So, we want to become liberated from this disturbance very soon, hopefully. Is it working? Hare Krishna. So, that is the nature of this material world. We are conditioned. We are not liberated. We have to accept the fact. So therefore, our acharyas explain all this entire process of coming to Krishna consciousness or practicing spirituality and the right consciousness is the real solution. Because we can see that the more we are going far away from the Supreme Lord or to the spirituality, the real spirituality, there are so many problems are created in this material world. And therefore, there is a great need to connect ourselves from within. Because we are disconnected. Therefore, problems are happening. Therefore, the real meaning of yoga is to connect with the Supreme. And how to connect with that Supreme? It is just, is it that we have to do some yoga, asana, pranayama, pratyahara? That is one kind of yoga or the connecting. But it is not just at a gross level that we do some physical postures and we feel that I have done yoga. But there are 8 aspects of yoga which goes further, more deeper. And therefore, when we go more deeper and try to understand our inner consciousness, then there is another world, or there is still a lot of homework to be completed. It is not just an external. And therefore, this knowledge is so important. One has to hear. The real knowledge comes by hearing. When one hears from a bona fide spiritual master, one who comes in a proper disciplic succession, one who is a self-realized person, then the real knowledge will come. And how we hear, that is important. We are to hear in the mode of great eagerness. Otherwise we may just appear to be hearing, but we may not hear anything. Therefore, the hearing process has been recommended every time. The real knowledge is awakened when we hear properly. Even the chanting of the holy names. If we don't hear properly, it is explained that we will just go through chanting. We will not grow through chanting. Right? We'll just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It is just 16 rounds are over. But we will not get the realization of that chanting. And in Kali Yuga especially, the chanting of the holy name is recommended. This is the ultimate process in the Kali Yuga. So therefore, when we hear, when we chant attentively, then we will see that it is, the process is simple, it is not difficult. So most of the problems are happening because of inattention. When one is not attentive, all the problems happen. All the accidents on the road, we see that why they are happening, because the driver is somewhat inattentive. Maybe busy with his mobile phone or distracted, thinking something, not focusing on the main duty. So therefore, hearing is important, that how we hear. So here also it is explained that the main solution is given here. By giving up one's false ego of identification with the 3 modes of nature, one can achieve Krishna consciousness. One sentence can be sufficient. If we can give up our false ego of identification with the 3 modes of material nature, one can achieve Krishna consciousness. It is not far. So therefore, to come to that stage, one has to hear. One has to first of all understand that I am not this mortal body. I am the spirit soul. Unfortunately, we have been identifying with this mortal body for so long, for so many lifetimes, so many different species of life. So then it is very difficult to accept that I am not this mortal body, I am the spirit soul. Or even to practice that philosophy, there has to be proper conducive environment. The environment in which we are practicing is not conducive, it is not favorable, then we cannot practice that philosophy also. So therefore, one has to practice in his own life and help others also. If somebody is serious, one should help others also to practice in that consciousness. Otherwise, we will disturb everyone. So therefore, this false ego is so deep that we sometimes don't realize also, I am covered by this false ego. So therefore, one has to become very humble. Humility is very important to acquire the real knowledge. Lord Krishna also explains in Bhagavad Gita, Amanitvam, Adambitvam. One has to be first of all very humble to accept that I am conditioned. I am suffering in this mortal world. And I need a solution. I want to come out of this suffering. And when such soul sincerely cries to the Supreme Lord, then the Supreme Lord, out of His causeless mercy, He sends His representative. One comes in contact with His representatives, bona fide representative, whom guide to come out of this mortal world. How to come out of this mortal world? What is the process one has to practice? Which is the ultimate solution to come out of this mortal world, to come out of this prison house, to become eternally liberated. And especially the human form of life is that junction which allows us to become free from the cycle of birth and death. One can utilize one's free will to become eternally liberated, or one can utilize that same free will to again become conditioned in this mortal world. Because Lord does not enforce anybody to practice Krishna consciousness or to remain in this mortal world. He has given complete freedom at every stage of our life. So how we utilize that and how we try to reach to that goal, that is the process. And it will not be easy. One has to go through all the different tests and purification, tribulations, humiliation sometimes. But when one takes the shelter of the Lord, that yes, ultimately He is trying to help me out of this mortal world, and He is waiting there. He wants us to come back home. We have distracted and identifying in this mortal world and thinking that I can be happy. But Lord is calling all of us to come back to His eternal abode, where there is no birth, there is no death, there is no old age, disease, no problems. Live happily there. So that is the place we should be aspiring for. And we can see that in this world, this, especially in this age of Kali Yuga. It has become so complicated. Lord comes in every yuga to give this knowledge or to establish the principles of religion, to protect his devotees, to kill all the demons, so that his devotees can come back to him. And we can see today's day, Vijayadashmi. On this day, Lord Ram had killed Ravan. Ravana represents what it represents? Lust. The person, he was so much obsessed. He was not happy with what he had. He was having good, opulent life, but still, because he was internally disconnected. He was thinking that if I take somebody else's property, then I will be happy. And it was advised to him also that don't do such things. You are digging your own grave. But again, the false ego, he was covered so much, he didn't hear anybody's advice. The advice was given, but there was a problem in hearing. So he could not hear it. In fact, somebody was telling that there was a discussion between his 10 heads. Dashanan, he was called as Dashanan. All the 10 heads were discussing that, Prabhu, you are doing something wrong. You need to be careful and don't do such things. All the 9 other heads were trying to convince 1 head. But he was so strong-headed. He did not listen to them. So that's how he was so covered over. And then we know what happened. And on this day, Lord Ram, he shot that arrow and killed Ravan. And all the devotees were happy. And he was also purified. And he also achieved some liberation after 3 births. Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravan, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dantavakra. So they achieved liberation because they were killed at the hand of the Supreme Lord. And in Kali Yuga, of course, they saw that Lord is extremely merciful. Because in Kali Yuga, achieving the mercy of the Lord is very easy. And in Kali Yuga, he is going to appear as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Namo Mahavadanya Avatar. He is the most merciful incarnation. So they decided to take 1 more extra birth, bonus, Diwali bonus. And they took birth as Jagai Madhai. Jagai and Madhai, they took birth. And we see how they were delivered by Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya. Today is also the appearance of Madhvacharya, Shripad Madhvacharya, who appeared in this line of Brahma Sampradaya. It was almost 1238 AD. It is explained. And it is explained that when he appeared, there was so much influence of Mayavad and Nirvisheshwar, Buddhism and atheism and Mayavad, everything, that the followers of Brahma Sampradaya they were living in seclusion. They were hiding in caves because there was so much of fear that these Mayavadis, they will defeat them. And at that time, getting defeated in a philosophical discussion was quite embarrassing, humiliating, and they had to accept another person, follow their philosophy. So they were very secretly practicing devotional service. It was so difficult, we can imagine that so much kind of different type of terrorism was there at that time, philosophically. That they were terrorizing everyone, that I am the supreme, I know better philosophy, and everyone should follow us. So in this way, there was a disturbance in the society. And whatever is happening in this earth planet, it is not that demigods are not aware of that. Demigods are fully aware of what is happening in this material, on this earthly planet especially. So there was a discussion at the higher level. And the demigods headed by Brahma, they approach the Supreme Lord Vishnu. And they explain that there is a kind of crisis in this, on this earthly planet. And you take scheduled incarnations. But at this time, there is no scheduled incarnation right now. But this philosophy of Mayavad, impersonalism and atheism, that is spreading so much that people are tormented almost. They cannot practice devotional service. So please do something. So then the Lord looked at the god of air, Vayu Devata. And he told him that you had to resolve this situation on the earth. You have to go and take birth on the earthly planet and establish the bhakti, worship to the Supreme Lord, pure devotional service. You have to go and do establish that. So he agreed, and we know that in South Kanara district, near Udupi, southeast of Udupi, there is a place called Pajaka Kshetra, 8 kilometers or 8 miles from that place, where there was a great wonderful Brahmana, Madhya Geha Bhat, Shivali Brahmana. Usually they are worshippers of Shiva. But he had a great faith in Lord Vishnu. And he was worshipping him with great devotion. So, this Brahmana used to go to Udupi every day from Pajaka Kshetra, walking. He used to go there, worship the Lord along with his wife. Both of them, they were greatly devoted. And one day when they had in that Ananteshwar temple in Payakshetra, one person happened to be haunted by someone. He was like very restless. He just climbed on a flagpole alone, and there he was doing some special tricks, gymnastics. And then he caught everyone's attention. Then he made some declaration, prophecy kind of thing. he told that that Vayu, the incarnation of Vayu is going to appear very soon. But he did not tell the details, where he will take the birth, who will be his father. And they were also present, that they also heard it. And then they went back, and they did not have children. In fact, they had two sons, but they died at early age. So they were praying to the Supreme Lord to give a good devotee son. So they started doing austerities. And what was austerity they were performing? They decided to take only milk. Only milk they were taking. And such austerities they performed for 12 years. 12 years they were performing such austerities and daily walking from Pajakakshetra to Udupi, doing their duties, their services. And he was blessed with a child, very, very powerful child, on this day, very auspicious day. And the horoscope explained that he had 32 qualities of a Mahapurush. He is a very great personality. And he will establish the devotion to the Supreme Lord. And in this way, there were wonderful signs that he is going to do something special in this material world. And he was a small child, like 1 year child, and he was crying, and he used to be like, said that he had a good appetite. And once his mother had gone out somewhere and the child was crying, his sister was trying to pacify him, but the child was not stopping, and she was trying so much, but the child was not stopping. So she felt that what to do now. So there was one bag of grains, kind of horse gram, which was given to bulls actually. So she just tilted that little bit and some grains fell on the ground. And she had placed him on the ground. And he took some grains there. And it was almost the time of his annaprashan. So kind of annaprashan he did himself. And she saw that now he is pacified, the child is pacified, he has stopped crying. So she went out to look for mother. And she went out. And after some time, mother and sister both came, and they saw this bag of 40 kg horse gram was empty. They were thinking, what happened? How can this child eat 40 kg? So they understood that he is not an ordinary child. And the child was very happily smiling, as if he is now given a justification for his appetite. And in this way, there are a lot of childhood pastimes. But the time is running short, I think. So maybe sometime later we will take up. But today is that auspicious day where Shripad Madhvacharya was born, and there are many, many pastimes, how he took sannyas, how he convinced his parents. Parents were not happy that he was so brilliant child. Every time he would exhibit his scholarship. Once by hearing, he could understand the reason. And at the age of 12 years, he took sannyas. He was determined. His father was practically crying and falling at his feet. He fell at his feet and, "Please don't take sannyas. You are the only son. You have to look after us in our old age." But he said that only time when elderly person falls at the feet of another person is that when that person is a sannyasi. So you have already fallen at my feet. So what am I supposed to do now? Right? So somehow there he escaped. He saw that there is a nice person, sannyasi, Achyuta Preksha. He was a follower of Brahma Sampradaya. And he went to his ashram to secretly escape from the home. And he was sitting for sannyas vows. Father came running. "Please stop this. I cannot see you. Shaven head and this color, staff and everything. Taking the vows of austerities." So he said, "Okay, I will not take sannyas only on one condition. As long as you don't get another child." So that was another revelation for their parents. Does that mean that they are going to have one more child? And there was another child. And then he took sannyas. And then we know that how he traveled, how he defeated Mayavadis. And wherever he would go, people would get scared. He was so strong in his philosophy. Advaitavad. There is always a difference between the living entity and the supreme. Living entity cannot become one with the Lord. It is always different. Therefore, you can see his hand is like this, two fingers. That means he is so strong about dualism. Jiva can never become equal with the Lord. And in this way he continued defeating many Mayavadis and many philosophers. Once he reached to Navadvip Dham, during his travel of preaching, and he had a dream. He dreamed that Lord Gauranga appeared in his dream. And he told that, "You continue your mission of defeating all these Mayavadis and all other people. And in the future, I'm going to incarnate, I'm going to take birth in your parampara, in your sampradaya." So in this way, Shripad Madhavacharya was empowered to preach the philosophy of dualism. And we are in the same parampara, Madhva Gaudiya Parampara. Therefore, this line of disciplic succession is called as Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Parampara. Hare Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.